This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Bob Barsha and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio. Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to your Sunday night with Speed City. Very excited to be with you tonight. This is John Massengill, and I'm in the studio in Austin. And I have with me tonight, over Zoom, from North Carolina, Mr. Bob Barsha. Mr. Barsha, how are you, sir?
I'm tired after a long day in the studio, John, but I'm raring to go here in our Sunday night hour. As you can see behind me, I'm in my typical penthouse suite at the Hampton Inn in beautiful, not actually downtown, suburban Charlotte, North Carolina, let's say. Hampton Inn, North Tryon Street. Come on over and we'll party.
And room number 1123. No.
I'm giving you my room number.
Well, what are you doing out there? Tell everybody, Bob.
Well, I came here. We built the opening two races of the Extreme E all-electric off-road series in Neom, Saudi Arabia. Two races, two full races. New rules this year. Go from one to two races, complete with qualifying and everything else. So they're very busy weekends and very difficult shows to shrink to fit for the American television format. But the action was tremendous. It always is. I really encourage our listeners. I mean, if you're looking for something different and fun, check out Extreme E. It's just amazing off-road action. If you like Monster Jam, you'll love Extreme E. If you like Rally, you will love of Extreme E. And it's just attractive in so many ways, including having combined male-female drivers in the same team
from all
over the world. It's great stuff, I have to say. And irony of ironies today, the team belonging to Carlos Sainz, the two-time World Rally Champion, and gosh, however many time Dakar Rally Champion. He hurt his back, couldn't drive today, so his team ran off and won their first race of the year without their figurehead and team leader. So, Carlos, if you're out crying tonight, abrazos, amigo.
Well, I know those are cool cars. It looks really badass on TV. 550 horsepower electric off-roaders. It looks cool. Yep.
Great fun.
Well, hey, let me run into what we're going to talk about on the show. We're going to talk lots of Formula One news after Red Bull's incredibly dominant start to the season. And we're going to talk a little IndyCar news. We're going to talk a little IMSA news. IndyCar had their opener in St. Pete. IMSA, I know we're in between, but there was some cheating that was disclosed this week. I'm just going to say the words, like, instead of infractions, I'm just going to say cheating. And that's what apparently had happened in IMSA at Daytona. So we'll talk about that. And we'll talk about some big changes at Ferrari already in Formula One. And also, I'm going to talk about young Austin racer Ryan Sheehan, who we've had on the show quite a bit because he's based here in Austin. And he had a fantastic start to his weekend out at NOLA in the FR Americas, in the F3 cars. Really amazing start for him. So we got all of that coming up. But I want to start with Formula One because I want to talk about the dominance of Red Bull. I know that may... That's going to be great for some. I know some others may have gotten tired of that, but Bob, I've got some stats that I wanted to talk about because that start by them was really that race. I mean, the gap, you got to go all the way back to 1998 to the Australian Grand Prix before Red Bull were even on the grid. And for that matter, before Bahrain was on the calendar, for the last time a car's finished further ahead than its closest rival. Verstappen last week, won last week ahead of Perez, and with Fernando Alonso 38.6 seconds behind in his Aston Martin, which was the really most of what we talked about in our post-race show, for rightly so, in my opinion. But you got to go all the way back to 1998 when Mika Häkkinen won the McLaren Mercedes, followed by David Coulthard, while Heinz Harald Fretzen took the third in his Williams, but that was all the way back in 1998 is the last time we've seen a gap like that. And you know what? There's a bit of hope in here because that same year, the title fight actually went down to the wire between Häkkinen and a resurgent Michael Schumacher. So there's some hope, but Bob, I mean, that's pretty crazy. 38, almost 39 seconds ahead of the Aston Martin.
That's true. But to me, one of the charms of Formula One is the unlimited nature. You have rules, your box is this big, build the best race car you can within that box. And if you go out and lap everybody, good on you, because this is a 24 race season. No, 23.
Yep.
So, you know, you've got plenty of time to get better, and you have to get better. Anybody in Formula One will tell you that. Look at Mercedes. I mean, Toto Wolff said, this car is all screwed up. You know, we've gone down the wrong path. We're going to stick together. We're going to make it right. And that's all there is to it. Meanwhile, Lewis Hamilton says, well, I told them it wasn't going to be a good car, and they didn't listen to me. So there's a lot of ruffled feathers there, I think, that they need to smooth over. But, you know, the point is you go out and you do the best job you can. And if you're just that much better than everybody, I used to tell people all the time when Senna was winning a lot or when Michael Schumacher was winning a lot, you know, don't bitch and bone about it now, because you're going to want to say you saw this when this bar of excellence was set so high, you're going to want to say that you saw it, you know, with your own eyes, and what a challenge it lays down for all the other teams to get better, to go meet that standard. And we've already heard some teams are planning to bring updates to the next round in Australia. Alpine, who had a horrible weekend at the season opener, they're already talking about updates. And here's the other thing, and it's so ironic and appropriate that you bring up the Formula One domination by Red Bull, following up on a brief discussion of cheating in IMSA at the Rolex 24 Hours of Daytona, because a lot of naysayers and critics are going to say, well, look, of course Red Bull is that much better because they cheated last year and they got the benefit of that. No matter how much wind tunnel time you take away from them, no matter how many dollars you charge them, no matter how many points you take away, now they've got a better car and off they're going to go. Well, Maybe yes, maybe no. But them's the rules. We play by them, and let's see what happens. Personally, I'm fascinated by the whole thing because now, yes, the Ferraris and the Mercedes and the Aston Martins and everybody else in the world have to step up. So let's see who can do it and who can't.
Yeah. And I like where you were going with that, Ferrari, Mercedes. You can just keep on going down that list because it what it feels like this year is that we don't have a midfield. We have the big three. Now, if you include Aston Martin, it's almost like you have the big two, and then everybody else is in the hunt right now. But you're right. So much can happen right now with all the upgrades that that people could bring. I mean, everybody's worrying about McLaren, but, you know, they've already said they've got upgrades coming as well. So who knows what this will bring.
It's one race worth of data.
Yep.
And all we know is that Red Bull came out looking really good. Everybody else, not so much. Calm down. You know, this is what these people get paid to do. Make a better car and go and race it. I expect we may see something entirely different in Australia. Red Bull may win again, but probably not by as much as we saw in Bahrain.
God, I know. Isn't that so exciting to think about what's going to happen in Saudi Arabia? Because who knows? It may not be that Aston Martin's car is the same as it was at Bahrain. Right. And all the way you can go up and down the field there. So it's going to be cool to see that. I'm already excited for that. Other good stories. Hey, I like what you put in here about Mercedes, the story about them. Hamilton didn't listen and them sticking together. That was good, Bob.
Well, you know, as I said, the Mercedes is in a very tough spot right now. Apparently, Toto Wolff and probably, you know, his team have given up. If you follow Formula One throughout the offseason, we heard some high-ranking Mercedes people say, our car is an evolution of last year's. We think we've had fundamentally the right concept with this slimline side pod design. Our biggest problem was porpoising and bouncing off the racetrack. We got that licked. We're going to be better. Boom. They go to Bahrain. They're not very good. And now Toto Wolff is saying, no, the concept of this car with those slimline side pods is wrong and we've got to change it. And he called them radical changes we have to make, but we're going to stick together no matter what our drivers say about us and do the best we can. And, you know, it's going to take time and a whole lot of money. And keep in mind, the spending cap is down another $5 million this year. So we're going to find out who the really good managers are.
Speaking of that, I didn't have this as one of our topics, but I have to, and when you said that about spending gap, I have to think about is that several of the team principals were coming out and saying things like, you know, they're not sure that this spending cap is actually working because of all the money you get to spend outside of it and how that affects things. So there could be some more grumblings with that as the season moves on.
I'm sure there will be. You know, I really couldn't understand it when we had the whole Red Bull kerfuffle last year about spending what $1 million and change over the spending cap, because you know what, the spending cap was so vaguely worded. And as you point out, John, there are so many loopholes in there about what you can spend money on and what comes under the cap. It confused the daylights out of me. And I'm not surprised that somebody deliberately or otherwise tripped over the upper limit, because just like weight in a race car, they're going to get as close to the minimum as they can. Someone's bound to make a mistake. So, you know, I don't want to crucify Red Bull. Okay, they made a mistake. They're paying their penalty. Do they have a better car because of what they did? Not for me to say. Or probably anybody else, given the complexity of Formula One teams and cars these days.
It's so true. It's so funny when you say that. I think about something Jonathan Green told me years ago. He was talking about, you know, how at the time I was still new to Formula One, and he was like, look, man, the good thing about Formula One, it resets every year. By the end of the year, you'll be an expert on that year. But next year, it's all new. So that's the way Formula One goes.
Exactly. You build a new car every year.
All right. Well, you know what? It is. Let's squeeze in a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to have a few more Formula One stories to talk about. And then we'll talk about some IndyCar as well in the next session. You're listening to Sunday Night with Speed City. Back after this.
Thank you. As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
Winding Road Racing is your first and best choice for all the essentials for a great weekend at the track. We're racers, and we love helping racers. With a full selection of racing gear in stock, get geared up with all the safety equipment needed to meet all the latest Snell, FIA, and SFI regulations. Outfit your car with a comprehensive lineup of racing necessities, and when you need to find a few more tents, turn to data acquisition systems from AIM Sports, V-Box, and others. Austin-based with shops in California, Georgia, and Kentucky. The source for all your racing needs. Winding Road Racing. WindingRoadRacing.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Hello, I'm Jenny Gow from BBC F1. You are listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back. But speaking of Jenny Gow, Bob, you saw it too. Jenny, and you guys were, you know, the Formula Extreme team, where she was working with you guys a little bit. Is that what it was? Or did she just pop in the studio? Because I know she's still recovering.
She's a regular co-commentator. They are what they call series announcers. The series provides a television fee for anybody who wants the ticket and doesn't have their own announcers to put in there. Jenny Gow and a guy named Andrew Coley, who has made his bones in Rallycross. And they're a good team. And Jenny, of course, has suffered a stroke. She's still recovering, but she posted a picture of her standing in the studio in London with with her regular colleague, Andrew Coley, and the female who stepped in to replace her, Nikki Shields, who's very well known to fans of all-electric Formula E, the open-wheel race cars, because Nikki's a regular pit reporter in that series. So I was pretty familiar with both of them. And it's good to see Jenny coming around, although she said in the message attached to that photo that she still feels like she's got a long way to go.
Yeah, we actually commented last week's show, but she sounded good when she did a quick little spot for the Checkered Flag podcast. But yeah, all best wishes for her. And I was about to say it during the break, but for anybody looking for Jonathan Green, because he was supposed to be on the show tonight, he was doing the commentary weekend for the NOLA Motorsports Park, what's it called, the Speed Tour, where he's out there doing Trans Am and Formula Regionals and Formula 4 and SVRA. And he's literally on a plane as we speak, or at least getting on a plane. So he's not going to be with us tonight, but he did do a little recording for us. He got an interview with our young driver that we talked about earlier, Ryan Sheehan. So we'll hear from that later. But we still got some Formula One stories that I wanted to talk about. And one of them is one that you wanted to talk about, Bob, where Gunther Steiner is getting a little flack, getting a little criticism for his comments in Drive to Survive about Mick Schumacher. And what do you think about that?
Well, I think it's a little unfair to go back and nitpick given what's happened since then. I mean, Gunther has a job to do and he's doing it to the best of his ability. But I think it points out something larger about Drive to Survive. Maybe it's me, but I see a lot of debate going on about whether Drive to Survive now in season 5 has sort of lost its edge. You know, if they kind of lost the plot in terms of the formula that made it so incredibly popular from season 1. I don't know. I'm not prepared to judge until I've looked at all the episodes, and I haven't done that yet. But yeah, Gunther has been asked and thus has to answer about whether he was too harsh with Mick Schumacher. Certainly we've seen in the first race in Bahrain that the TV coverage loves Mick Schumacher standing right by Toto Wolff in the Mercedes garage. He gets a lot of camera time. And of course, we all wish him well. But look, it's just the way it worked out. And look at the success in that one race, I hasten to add, that MoneyGram Haas had in Bahrain with the new combination of Kevin Magnussen and Nico Hülkenberg. I mean, they are pretty indisputably, based on the data thus far, a better team than they were with Kevin partnered by Mick Schumacher.
Well, the first thing I think of when I hear these comments, it's like, okay, everybody loves Gunther Steiner. Why do they love him? Because he's not afraid to say anything. And now he's getting flack for saying what's on his mind. Now, right. I know that there's a special place for Mick Schumacher's father, Michael Schumacher, right? And I feel like maybe some of that is coming from some of that, you know, that okay, he's kind of untouchable because of his dad. But look, it's Gunther, and he's got to say he's going to. I don't think he can't not say what's on his mind, because that's why we love him. I mean, that's what makes him a fascinating character, and I think that's also probably what makes him good at his job too. So
yes, let's not have boring corporate gray
exactly
comments from people up and down the pit lane. You know, say what you think, and this isn't even Gunther Steiner responding to questions today. This is people asking him about something he said last year, which I think is kind of awkward on the face of it. You know,
yeah.
Does he justify the way he ran the team? Not to us.
Yeah.
To Gene Haas, maybe.
Yeah.
But you know, if you don't like it, tough. It's a tough business.
Yeah, it is a very tough business. When you're at the sharpest edge of any business, then it's... you know, there's always somebody ready to step into your job. So that's Formula One for you. Here's some comments. He said exactly what you said, Bob. He says, talking about Drive to Survive in these episodes, he says, I didn't watch it, but I made the comments. So I remember some of the things I said. I think they haven't showed everything what I said, because in the heat of the moment, I say some things. And obviously Drive to Survive shows the worst, the most picky moments. So that's what the show needs to do. So there you go. He's basically saying what we just said.
Yeah, and what other people have said. I mean, Max Verstappen wouldn't even talk to Drive to Survive last year or the year before because for just that reason, he said comments were taken out of context. They were trying to build up hard feelings and rivalries between Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton after the events of 2021. You know, I have a certain amount of sympathy for Drive to Survive. You have a limited amount of time. You want to make the best, most interesting show that you can. But it's a tricky business.
Mm. Hey, so speaking of docuseries, I watched the first three episodes of IMSA's Win the Weekend. And they started it. It's all the series this year is about the new GTP class in IMSA. You know, the new hybrids, which is a cool thing to focus on. I was pretty excited about that new era in IMSA. And the series is pretty good. And it's I have to admit, when I first saw it, I saw that it was on YouTube. And I don't know why that jaded me a little bit. I was like, you know, okay, this is on YouTube, but how good is it going to be? But I shouldn't think that way at all because, you know, YouTube's just another platform and there's only so much you're going to get on Netflix, but it was good. It was pretty well produced. I mean, yeah, if you get really nitpicky, there was some parts that weren't like super crazy polished, but it was on the surface of it. I thought it was very well done and very, you know, the production quality and all that were really good. So yeah, I would definitely, if you're a race fan already, I would definitely give it a watch. And clearly what they're trying to do is catch that, some of that lightning in the bottle that Drive to Survive has and get some of the maybe not so adamant race fans, or like that happened in my house when I'm watching it and my daughter and my wife are walking by and going, hey, I may watch some of that, but it was pretty good. I'd say it was absolutely worth watching if you're a race fan. So it's on YouTube. It's just the IMSA YouTube channel. It's called, Win the Weekend. It was kind of cool. They did some interviews with some of the diehards that camp out there overnight. And it was kind of neat seeing some of that behind the scenes stuff, interviewing folks out there. So I thought it was definitely worth watching. Have you seen any, Bob?
No, I haven't. I love sports cars. That's where I began my career 40 years ago. I love IMSA. I love everybody in it, except the folks who fired me about 5 years ago. So I have to sort of pump myself up to go watch IMSA and not wish I was there. I'll give it a look because everybody's doing it. IndyCar is going to be doing it now. Everybody yep. wants a let us take you behind the scenes kind of show that Drive to Survive is supposed to be. And, you know, they've seen that formula. They've seen how it works. So it's boom time for production companies that want to do this kind of thing. For the racing series. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if NASCAR has one shortly, NHRA has one shortly. You know, this sort of good medicine spreads quickly.
Yeah, and you know, if you just look at the numbers on the internet of what people are doing on the internet now, I don't know the numbers, but it's something like 90% of the internet is now people streaming video. So that's where people are going. So Let's serve them what they want, right?
Yep.
Let's see what else. Oh, speaking of IMSA, I've been following it closely because my son is a mechanic for that McLaren team that's racing the Inception guys. That's why I was thinking that while ago. I was like, why is my YouTube feed and everything else feeding me so much IMSA? Well, that's why, because I watch my son doing that. He's
packing the algorithm.
Yeah, exactly. He's packing up to. He's been working on that McLaren here in Austin. And they put it on the truck, I think, tomorrow. So he'll be heading out there soon. So they had a good weekend at Daytona. They finished on the podium. So exciting to see how they'll do at Sebring. Let's see. What else did I have on here, Bob? I wanted to one thing I definitely want to talk about is Hamilton and his co-star for the F1 movie, Brad Pitt. Do you see that?
Yeah. Well, Hamilton is an executive producer on the show. He's contributing to it, consulting with them. The movie, which is being done by Ridley Scott, I believe, the hyper-successful action movie director, Brad Pitt will star, and they're looking for someone to co-star with him. And it could wind up being interesting because Lewis Hamilton is talking about diversity. And I think he's going to want to make this character, and the story goes that Brad Pitt is the driver called out of retirement. Stop me if you've heard this before, driven. Brad Pitt comes out of retirement to tutor a young driver, and the story plays out from there. I certainly hope they make a better movie than Driven was, which may be the worst racing movie of all time. But anyway, how can you lose with Brad Pitt and Ridley Scott? And
yeah,
and hopefully they'll do something. Funny story, years ago, when Bernie Ecclestone was still running Formula One, I was approached by a guy who'd written a screenplay and wanted me to talk to Bernie about it. And could this movie be made? And Bernie help him find money, yada, yada, yada. And Bernie, as charming as ever, said, well, I don't have a serious problem with a movie, although those movie people can be pretty annoying. So I would consider doing one under three circumstances. One, no drugs involved in the story. Two, no death in the story. And three, no involvement at all by John Frankenheimer, who, of course, was the director of one of the greatest motorsports movies ever made, Grand Prix, starring James Garner. So that died on the vine right there. It was shortly after that Sylvester Stallone announced he had a deal with Bernie to do a Formula One movie, and that died on the vine after a few months, and Stallone wound up making Driven about Indy cars rather than Formula One cars, and it died a much welcome death.
That was a god awful movie. Yes, yeah. Horrible.
So hopefully, this will be a lot better. It'll be, right up there with Rush or some of the really good movies like Le Mans and Grand Prix and what have you. But it's going to be interesting to see who they announce to be Brad Pitt's co-star, who this young up-and-coming driver would be, which gender, which ethnicity, and so on and so forth. And we'll see if they can get a really authentic racing experience out there for all of us to enjoy.
Yeah, I think that's what we all want, is that authentic. And I guess my favorite of late was the Ford versus Ferrari one, but that was not Formula One, but it was a great movie. That was very enjoyable. In fact, that was good enough that, again, wife and daughter both enjoyed that. So, all right, we need to get a quick break in, and when we come back, we'll have some continued discussions, a little more Formula One, but we'll squeeze in some other motorsports as well. You're listening to your Sunday Night with Speed City, back after this. Hey guys, we are very excited to welcome our new sponsor, Allstadt Brewery, to Speed City. These guys make a fantastic beer, and I'm going to let Jonathan talk about it, but I'm going to tell you about it. When I tasted it, I am not a big beer aficionado. I like a nice cold beer, but I'm always worried about a craft beer or a new beer that it's going to have a funky taste, especially aftertaste. This beer was fantastic. I have absolutely no qualms at all that this is my new favorite beer. But Jonathan, you know why? What makes it so special? The water and the recipe?
Well, yeah. I mean, these guys have done their research and do it right. And they've even imported the right water to do it right. I mean, I tell you, this Allstadt beer, fantastic. And most Europeans are snobs about their beer. And I'm definitely one of those. Because
you're definitely a snob?
Yes, okay. About my beer.
Okay.
because there's no question, carbonation has always been my issue here in the States. It's overcarbonated, and our lagers, our pilsners and lagers in Europe, especially German ones, are not that heavily carbonated, and that's a key thing. And that's the first thing that hit me, was just how well they've done the beer. It's based out of Fredericksburg. It's got a great tie-in, because obviously Fredericksburg, a German town, and now they've got a Texas German beer, and it's cracking.
Yeah, and the facility out there, it's amazing. They've really done it right. It's really fantastic. So check it out. You can get it at all the local HEBs and everything else, right?
Yep. It's around all around Texas. You can get it. They sell it in on the shelf there as a Texas beer. But I'll tell you what, you're right back in Germany when you drink it.
And it's Altstadt Beer, Altstadt Beer.com. Altstadt Beer, Altstadt Beer.com.
Jay Leno from JayLeno'sGarage.com, and you're listening to Speed City. Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to your Sunday night with Speed City. John Massengale here and Bob Varsha over Zoom. And Jonathan Green didn't get to join us tonight on an airplane back from NOLA Motorsports. Bob, I want to get to that IndyCar story that we've been saying off the air we're going to talk about. But I want to talk about Logan Sargeant. I don't want to get through tonight with celebrating some more about an American being in Formula One. And you said you want to talk about this story about where he said he didn't want to be too greedy.
Yeah, he told the press he was maybe satisfied is the right word for his debut in Formula One in the much unloved Williams. He got all the way up to a time equal to that of the much heralded Lando Norris in the McLaren. And since they had the identical time, but Norris set it first, Norris took 15th in first qualifying at Bahrain and advanced into Q2, where poor Logan Sargeant was relegated to the back of the grid after being eliminated in Q1, despite having the same time as Norris. But he talked about his race and the kind of consistency he had. I mean, I was just impressed all around by his approach. He wasn't intimidated at all. He was not boastful at all. As he said, I don't want to get greedy. I'm going to take this step by step. I think it was a very, very mature approach, and I was very impressed with the guy.
Yeah, we talked about it on Sunday, and Jonathan said that he seems like he is really ready for Formula One, and that's a mature approach to it. I mean, for such a young guy, it's, you know, and you just have to be these guys that are so young in Formula One. You just have to have that level of maturity. It just doesn't work if you don't. But he really seems like that's such a smart move. You know, first of all, let's don't get too greedy and crash the car. Right. Number one, that's rule number one. Actually, rule number one is don't crash the car into your teammate. But rule number one, B, don't crash the car at all. And obviously, that's what he was doing. He said, let's have a great, you know, competitive weekend, but let's don't crash the car. So,
yeah, it's I've forgotten offhand how old Logan is, but he is not a teenager in the way that, say, Max Verstappen came into the sport, or Lewis Hamilton, who wasn't a teenager, but he was pretty darn young. So Logan's been at it for a while. He has persevered, which is tough for a young driver. You know, if your goal's Formula One, you don't get there by the time you're 20 or 21 or 22 years old and so on. The temptation to throw it all in, either go do some other form of motorsport or do no motorsports at all, go to college, get a job, get on with the rest of your life. But Logan Sargeant has hung in there. He has the benefit of good financial backing. So, you know, the door is open if he can walk through it and do what he appears to be doing, which is taking it all in his stride. You know, keep your mouth shut and your ears open and learn and get better.
Yep, I completely agree. I'm excited to see what Mr. Sargeant can do for us as in America this year. So, I mean, I know I have realistic expectations. He's with Williams, but still, very exciting. All right, I want to talk some IndyCar. I want to talk IndyCar because right after we got off the air for the Bahrain Grand Prix post-race show, I got home, I made myself some lunch, and sat down in front of the TV, and IndyCar was just getting rolling. And Grosjean was on pole and led, what, 30-something laps of that race. And then we get towards the end of the race, and we're in a pit cycle. And Grosjean, as he pits, and Scott McLaughlin is his rival for the win here. And so Grosjean comes out of the pits and ends up right behind McLaughlin. I mean, if it were a tenth or two better in the pit, he would have been ahead. So it comes out right behind McLaughlin. But actually, I have this backwards because McLaughlin was on cold tires and Grosjean was on hot tires. So McLaughlin comes out and Grosjean goes around him and McLaughlin, they go into the next corner and he locks him up because his tires are cold and takes Grosjean out of the race. And that was really sad for me because I really wanted Grosjean to get his first win. I think he's had at least one, if not two, second place finishes. But it was really sad. And really, what would have been ideal is those two guys battle the rest of the race for 1-2 because they had been fastest most of that race. But it was a shame. And, of course, the internet exploded saying, you know,
One thing, exactly.
One side or the other. I think most people were saying McLaughlin probably was in the wrong there. But after the race, he immediately came out and, you know, in the post-race interviews and on social media was saying, that was all me. I was in the wrong. I, you know, made a split-second decision. It was the wrong one.
Well, you know, as you point out, it was late in the race. They were on different temperature tires. I don't know, they might have been on different composition of tires.
Yeah.
I don't know which one, reds or blacks. But, yeah, McLaughlin did what he was paid to do, which is judge the situation and make a move. Turns out it was probably over-optimistic, although I looked at that accident time after time after time, and I could have talked myself into blaming either one of them. So I'll compromise. I'll blame both of them. You know, McLaughlin, you know, shouldn't have forced that move. Grosjean probably shouldn't have defended as hard as he did because he turned in and helped the two cars come together. Huge heartbreak for both of them and for their teams. You know, afterwards they hugged it out. But yeah, that was really unfortunate. Hey, that's racing.
That's racing.
I would like to be Marcus Ericsson.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, another ex-Formula One driver, Marcus Ericsson, wins the race. And yep. He's had a pretty good streak of good luck, because I'm going to call that good luck that those two guys took themselves out of that race.
I tell you what, you know, the winner of the Indianapolis 500 every year does the big media tour and travels with the BorgWarner trophy and all that kind of thing. We actually had Marcus Ericsson with us at a race at COTA. Where he let all of us play with his Indy 500 winner's ring. And I've got pictures of it on my phone, and that's all neat, trick, and groovy. But I don't think I have ever seen a winner getting more mileage out of an Indy 500 victory, or the powers that be getting more mileage out of an Indy 500 winner than they are with Marcus Ericsson. I mean, he has taken the trophies to Sweden. He's been everywhere. He's been on soccer pitches and hockey fields, and I'm sure he's going to wind up throwing out the first pitch somewhere, or trying to kick a field goal somewhere, or trying to do a triple axel or a quad spin or some, you know, darn thing. But, you know, enjoy it. You earned it.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing I wanted to touch on, it was great to see Marcus Ericsson win that race, though. He's a likable guy, let's put it that way. But McLaughlin is now one of my favorite drivers on Twitter because he's silly. He seems smart, but he's kind of fun and silly and goofy. If you don't follow him on Twitter, that's the platform I spend the most of my time on. There's too many of them. I don't go all over, but he's great on Twitter. So if you're looking for a good follow, I think he and Connor Daly are my two favorite IndyCar drivers on Twitter. They're fun to watch.
Yeah, well, McLaughlin's he's a pretty stereotypical Australian. Fun-loving, good sense of humor. You know, when it's time to work, it's time to work. But the rest of the time, play hard.
Yeah. I alluded to this earlier, but we didn't really get into it. I want to talk about a little further on this. Meyer Shank Racing getting fined for cheating at Daytona. Because when I saw it, I was like, oh, that's not good. And then I started reading about what IMSA did about it. And everybody keeps their trophy. Everybody keeps their watches. They got fined and all this. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. Hang on a minute. So they're going to keep the win and the drivers are going to keep their watches. And I'm thinking, first thing I thought of, I was like, I wouldn't wear that watch. I wouldn't show it off if I were somebody that was one of those teammates that got to wear that watch because you cheated to win. And yes, they're saying that may have been one engineer, may not have been, you know, it kind of reminds me of the VW Dieselgate where, okay, was it just one software guy that was doing that and everybody didn't know or everybody didn't ask the questions? But I don't know. It just, that part did not sit well with me, Bob.
Yeah, well, I agree. For those who aren't aware of the situation, it was revealed that the team was running on tire pressures below what the tire manufacturer had specified. And that's bad enough. But it turns out they had manipulated the data. And this, interestingly, was apparently discovered and reported to IMSA by Honda Performance Development, HPD. The people have a tremendous investment in these Acura hypercars. Le Mans Daytona hybrids. Run in IMSA, the GTP cars. So that was good on HPD. But by the same token, you know, is it possible, is it plausible that nobody else on the team knew what this one individual who was fired from the team had done? The team accepted their punishment. You know, I know Michael Schenck not terribly well. I was around him a good bit when I was covering the IMSA series. He seems like a real straight up guy. He is a survivor. He's a great success story. He's almost like a Chip Ganassi type on a lower scale, good Midwestern guy who's really worked hard to build what he's got. I just cannot fathom of Mike Schenck not knowing this deliberately. But having said that, I've also seen a lot of the arguments that, I worked in a race team for years and there's no way that the top management of the team wouldn't know that this was going on. I don't know if that's true or not, but it's sad for IMSA. It's one of those deals where you're never going to satisfy everybody. Some people think you ought to be hung from a yardarm. others think, well, you know, everybody does it. So what's a pound or two of air pressure? Although apparently it makes a big difference in these cars. And the knock-on effect of the whole thing is, well, look, they had a great year last year. Were they cheating on tire pressures back then?
Yeah.
I don't know. So they keep the win in name only because they lost all the points. They lost all the money. They get to keep the watches and the win, which is, you know, maybe a Solomonic decision on behalf of IMSA. I don't know. As I say, I don't think it pleases anybody, much less everybody.
I haven't checked eBay to see if any of those Rolex Daytonas have made it there from the guy. But you know what? You said you can't imagine that if Schenck had known that he would have, you know, allowed this to happen. But I also feel like that he doesn't feel right about this win and he would want to give it back too. But, you know, I don't think that's, you know, if IMSA's decided this is what they're going to do, I'm sure he's not going to argue. But I wouldn't feel good about it if I were on that team. I would be pretty upset with the guy if it was one guy and didn't tell anybody. I would be pretty upset with him because not only, you know,
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Hi, this is Jay Leno from JayLenosGarage.com, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to your Sunday night with Speed City. John Massengale here and Bob Varsha over Zoom. And Jonathan Green didn't get to join us tonight on an airplane back from NOLA Motorsports. Bob, I want to get to that IndyCar story that we've been saying off the air we're going to talk about. But I want to talk about Logan Sargeant. I don't want to get through tonight with celebrating some more about an American being in Formula One. And you said you want to talk about this story about where he said he didn't want to be too greedy.
Yeah, he told the press he was... maybe satisfied is the right word for his debut in Formula One in the much unloved Williams. He got all the way up to a time equal to that of the much heralded Lando Norris in the McLaren. And since they had the identical time, but Norris set it first, Norris took 15th in first qualifying at Bahrain and advanced into Q2, where poor Logan Sargeant was relegated to the back of the grid after being eliminated in Q1, despite having the same time as Norris. But he talked about his race and the kind of consistency he had. I mean, I was just impressed all around by his approach. He wasn't intimidated at all. He was not boastful at all. As he said, I don't want to get greedy. I'm going to take this step by step. I think it was a very, very mature approach. And I was... very impressed with the guy.
Yeah, we talked about it on Sunday, and Jonathan said that he seems like he is really ready for Formula One, and that's a mature approach to it. I mean, for such a young guy, it's, you know, and you just have to be these guys that are so young in Formula One. You just have to have that level of maturity. It just doesn't work if you don't. But he really seems like that. That's such a smart move. You know, first of all, let's don't get too greedy and crash the car, right? Number one, that's rule number one. Actually, rule number one is don't crash the car into your teammate. But rule number 1B, don't crash the car at all. And obviously that's what he was doing. He said, let's have a great, you know, competitive weekend, but let's don't crash the car. So,
yeah, it's I've forgotten offhand how old Logan is, but he is not a teenager in the way that, say, Max Verstappen came into the sport, or Lewis Hamilton, who wasn't a teenager, but he was pretty darn young. So Logan's been in it for a while. He has persevered, which is tough for a young driver. You know, if your goal's Formula One, you don't get there by the time you're 20 or 21 or 22 years old and so on. The temptation to throw it all in, either go do some other form of motorsport or do no motorsports at all, go to college, get a job, get on with the rest of your life. But Logan Sargeant has hung in there. He has the benefit of good financial backing. So, you know, the door is open if he can walk through it and do what he appears to be doing, which is taking it all in his stride. you know, keep your mouth shut and your ears open and learn and get better.
Yep, I completely agree. I'm excited to see what Mr. Sargent can do for us as in America this year. So, I mean, I know I have realistic expectations. He's with Williams, but still, very exciting. All right, I want to talk some IndyCar. I want to talk IndyCar because right after we got off the air for the Bahrain Grand Prix post-race show, I got home, I made myself some lunch, and sat down in front of the TV, and IndyCar was just getting rolling, and Grosjean was on pole and led, what, 30-something laps of that race, and then we get towards the end of the race, and we're in a pit cycle. And Grosjean, as he pits, and Scott McLaughlin is his rival for the win here. And so Grosjean comes out of the pits and ends up right behind McLaughlin. I mean, it was the timing was, I mean, if it were a tenth or two better in the pit, he would have been ahead. So it comes out right behind McLaughlin. But actually, I have this backwards because McLaughlin was on cold tires, and Grosjean was on hot tires. So McLaughlin comes out, and Grosjean goes around him, and McLaughlin, they go into the next corner, and he locks him up because his tires are cold and takes Grosjean out of the race. And that was really sad for me because I really wanted Grosjean to get his first win. I think he's had at least one, if not two, second-place finishes. But it was really sad. And really, what would have been ideal is those two guys battle the rest of the race for 1-2 because they had been fastest most of that race. But it was a shame. And, of course, the internet exploded saying, you know,
one thing or another.
One thing, exactly. One side or the other. I think most people were saying McLaughlin probably was in the wrong there. But after the race, he immediately came out and, you know, in the post-race interviews and on social media was saying, that was all me. I was in the wrong. Made a split-second decision. It was the wrong one.
Well, you know, as you point out, it was late in the race. They were on different temperature tires. I don't know, they might have been on different composition of tires.
Yeah.
I don't know who was on reds or blacks. But, yeah, McLaughlin did what he was paid to do, which is judge the situation and make a move. Turns out it was probably over-optimistic, although I looked at that accident time after time after time, and I could have talked myself into blaming either one of them. So I'll compromise. I'll blame both of them. You know, McLaughlin, you know, shouldn't have forced that move. Grosjean probably shouldn't have defended as hard as he did because he turned in and helped the two cars come together. Huge heartbreak for both of them and for their teams. You know, afterwards they hugged it out. But that was really unfortunate. Hey, that's racing.
That's racing.
Would you like to be Marcus Ericsson?
Yeah, yeah. And of course, another Formula One driver, Marcus Ericsson, wins the race, and he's had a pretty good streak of good luck. Because I'm going to call that good luck that those two guys took themselves out of that race.
I tell you what, you know, the winner of the Indianapolis 500 every year does the big media tour and travels with the BorgWarner trophy and all that kind of thing. We actually had Marcus Ericsson with us at a race at COTA where he let all of us play with his Indy 500 winner's ring. And I've got pictures of it on my phone, and that's all neat, trick, and groovy. But I don't think I have ever seen a winner getting more mileage out of an Indy 500 victory, or the powers that be getting more mileage out of an Indy 500 winner than they are with Marcus Ericsson. I mean, he has taken the trophies to Sweden. He's been everywhere. He's been on soccer pitches and hockey fields, and I'm sure he's going to wind up throwing out the first pitch somewhere, or trying to kick a field goal somewhere, or trying to do a triple axel or a quad spin or some, you know, darn thing. But, you know, enjoy it. You earned it.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing I wanted to touch on, it was great to see Marcus Ericsson win that race, though. He's a likable guy, let's put it that way. But McLaughlin is now one of my favorite drivers on Twitter because he's silly. He seems smart, but he's kind of fun and silly and goofy. If you don't follow him on Twitter, that's
the platform I spend the most of my time on. There's too many of them. I don't go all over, but he's great on Twitter. So if you're looking for a good follow, he and I think he and Connor Daly are my two favorite IndyCar drivers on Twitter. They're fun to watch.
Yeah. Well, McLaughlin's he's a pretty stereotypical Australian. Fun loving, good sense of humor. You know, when it's time to work, it's time to work. But the rest of the time, play hard.
Yeah. I alluded to this earlier, but we didn't really get into it. I want to talk about a little further on this Meyer Shank Racing getting fined for cheating at Daytona, because when I saw it, I was like, oh, that's not good. And then I started reading about what IMSA did about it, and everybody keeps their trophy, everybody keeps their watches. They got fined and all this, and I was like, oh, wait a minute, hang on a minute. So they're going to keep the win, and the drivers are going to keep their watches. And I'm thinking, first thing I thought of, I was like, I wouldn't wear that watch. I wouldn't show it off if I were somebody that was one of those teammates that got to wear that watch, because you cheated to win. And yes, they're saying that may have been one engineer, may not have been, you know, it kind of reminds me of the VW Dieselgate, where, okay, was it just one software guy that was doing that and everybody didn't know, or everybody didn't ask the questions? But I don't know. It just, that part did not sit well with me, Bob.
Yeah, well, I agree. For those who aren't aware of the situation, it was revealed that the team was running on tire pressures below what the tire manufacturer had specified. And that's bad enough. But it turns out they had manipulated the data. And this, interestingly, was apparently discovered and reported to IMSA by Honda Performance Development, HPD. The people have a tremendous investment in these Acura hypercars. Le Mans Daytona hybrids. Run an IMSA, the GTP cars. So that was good on HPD. But by the same token, you know, is it possible, is it plausible that nobody else on the team knew what this one individual who was fired from the team had done? The team accepted their punishment. You know, I know Michael Shank, not terribly well. I was around him a good bit when I was covering the IMSA series. He seems like a real straight up guy. He is a survivor. He's a great success story. He's almost like a Chip Ganassi type on a lower scale, good Midwestern guy who's really worked hard to build what he's got. I just cannot fathom Mike Shank not knowing this deliberately. Yeah. You know, but having said that, I've also seen a lot of the arguments that, you know, I worked in a race team for years and there's no way that the top management of the team wouldn't know that this was going on. I don't know if that's true or not, but it's sad for IMSA. It's one of those deals where you're never going to satisfy everybody. Some people think you ought to be hung from a yardarm. others think, well, you know, everybody does it. So what's a pound or two of air pressure? Although apparently it makes a big difference in these cars. And the knock-on effect of the whole thing is, well, look, they had a great year last year. Were they cheating on tire pressures back then?
Yeah.
I don't know. So they keep the win in name only because they lost all the points. They lost all the money. They get to keep the watches and the win, which is, you know, maybe a Solomonic decision on behalf of IMSA. I don't know. As I say, I don't think it pleases anybody, much less everybody.
I haven't checked eBay to see if any of those Rolex Daytonas have made it there from the guy. But you know what? You said you can't imagine that if Shank had known that he would have, you know, allowed this to happen. But I also feel like that he doesn't feel right about this win and he would want to give it back too. But, you know, I don't think that's, you know, if IMSA's decided this is what they're going to do, I'm sure he's not going to argue. But I wouldn't feel good about it if I were on that team. I would be pretty upset with the guy if it was one guy and didn't tell anybody. I would be pretty upset with him because not only, you know, you're cheating, but you ruined it. Now they're going to live with that shadow, under that shadow, just like you just said about last season. So not cool. All right, well, let's get in our last break. And when we come back, we've got a few more stories. And we're also going to hear from young F3, the FR America's driver, Ryan Sheehan. You're listening to Sunday Night with Speed City, back after this.
Motivation USA, catering to the sport bike enthusiast looking for truly unique parts and accessories. Stand out from the crowd. Motivation is the exclusive North American distributor for SC Project MotoGP inspired exhausts and the largest Rizoma retailer in the United States. Get the best parts from around the world at the best prices with fast shipping and a knowledgeable staff ready to help. Shop online 24/7 at MotivationUSA.com. That's MotivationUSA.com.
If you want to know where the path to Formula One and Indy begins, it's three simple letters, VRD. VRD Racing of Atlanta, Georgia are dedicated to nurturing young, single-seater drivers on their quest to the pinnacle of motorsport. Having just wrapped up the team's championship title in 2021 in the F4 US Championship, they also have programs in FR Americas, the all-new USF Juniors, and the Road to Indy. VRD is the perfect environment for success. To join the team, drop them a DM on Instagram at velocity_RD.
Hello to everyone, this is Gunther Steiner, this is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to Speed City, your Sunday night with Speed City, which we do every Sunday when we are not doing a Formula One broadcast in the morning. But yeah, we have a couple stories we haven't touched on yet. And somebody texted me and said, hot take. They said, could Max win all 23 races, or will Lewis ever win a race again? Ooh.
That is... Don't jump. I know you're way up there on the edge of the building. Don't jump. It's not that bad.
That's a pretty hot take, isn't it?
Well, yeah. A hot take or a hot question. For my own purposes, no. I don't think that Max Verstappen's going to win every race.
Yeah.
And yes, Lewis Hamilton will win a race again.
Yeah, and I think that's very... I think that what's funny, if I had to say which one is less likely, I just think it's unlikely for anybody, for any team to win all 23, to win all the races in a Formula One season, much less the same driver. I think that's really, really unlikely. Now, Lewis, I mean... He's got a lot depends on whether he's back in position again. I definitely think I agree with you. If I were betting, I would bet on that, Bob. But yeah. I think both of those are pretty, pretty unlikely.
Well, closest anyone has ever come was 1988 when McLaren won 15 of the 16 races, thanks to Ayrton Senna and Alain Prost, who were probably the most recent true super team pairing of Formula One drivers. I have a joke about them losing that race. Do we have time to tell it?
We got plenty of time.
Okay. Well, as you know, Ayrton Senna was a very, very religious fellow. And in fact, Alain Prost, his teammate, said he often thinks he talks to God. Well, the truth is, he did.
Okay.
And in 1988, just before the Italian Grand Prix at Monza, Enzo Ferrari himself had passed away just a couple of weeks earlier. So it was a time of mourning and tributes and everything. So the Tifosi arrive in their multitudes at Monza for the race. Off into the distance goes Ayrton Senna, leading the race by a country mile. And he comes upon the Williams of Jean-Louis Schlesser, who was a Frenchman, a world sports car champion, who was drafted into the Williams team because Nigel Mansell had chicken pox, of all things. That's a totally true story.
Huh.
So Schlesser's in the car, and there was a collision as Senna tried to overtake him, and Senna was knocked out of the race, and the pursuing Ferraris came through to finish 1-2. So after the race, Senna got on his knees and spoke to God, said, Heavenly Father. God said, Yes, my son. Son, I said, You know, I always come to you for advice in times of trouble. God said, Yes, I know that. And he said, I've always been loyal and loving. God says, Yes, I'm very proud of you. Senna said, Well, in the race today, I asked you, should I try to lap Schlesser? Because I was leading by a ton. I could have just stayed behind him and won the race. But I asked you and you said, go ahead and pass it. Yes, my son, I did say that. Well, I crashed into him and dropped out of the race. And the Ferraris with Gerhard Berger and Michele Alboreto behind me finished 1-2. And the Tifosi tore the racetrack apart. They were all so bemoaned about this happening so soon after the death of Enzo Ferrari. Why did you tell me to pass the Williams? And God said, I don't know. Enzo, why did we tell him to try to pass the Williams?
Nice. Nice job also, Casey.
You promised me a laugh track. I don't hear anything.
We got a drum roll or a, what do you call it? A
Engineer Casey doesn't have a laugh track?
I think he just hit all the laugh buttons he had on the board.
And got nothing. Sounds like my joke. I'm dying up here.
You're dying over there.
Really?
Okay. I forgot where I was in our lineup. Oh, I know what I wanted to talk about. We touched on Jenson Button, but he is going to make his NASCAR debut here in Austin at Circuit of the Americas. How cool is that?
Excuse me.
Did I leave out the word NASCAR, or did I say that NASCAR? He's going to make his NASCAR debut here at Circuit of the Americas.
Along with another Formula One veteran.
Well, yes. We're also Kimi Raikkonen is going to be there. And he's going to make his debut in NASCAR at COTA, but he's also going to race at Chicago and Indy in NASCAR. And he's saying that even a full-time NASCAR drive is a possibility for him if all these races go successful. I don't think we touched on all of that, which I thought was pretty cool. And I think it's very cool that Jenson Button and Kimi Raikkonen are going to be in NASCAR's, opposing teams. That's very
fun. Are they going to be in the same race? Or is one going to be in Cup and the other one in Xfinity? I don't know.
Actually, it's a really good question. But no, it's just Cup Series. And Raikkonen's in the Cup Series. So yeah, they're going to be racing against each other.
Where have I heard that before? An open wheel superstar comes to NASCAR and finds out, hey, you know what? It's harder than it looks.
All right. Well, we just have a little bit of time left, so I want to make sure we get in this interview that we did. If you guys have been following us, we've stumbled across a young driver here in Austin who we followed because he got excited because he went to COTA, saw some sports car racing, and then he went to a Formula One race and said, Dad, this is what I want to do. And I think he must have been 9 or 10 years old when this happened. So he started karting and he started moving up, and then he did really well in karting. And then he moved to F4, USF 4 series. And then just recently, over the winter, he went down to New Zealand to do the Toyota Racing Series in the Formula Regional Oceania, they call it now. And so this weekend, he debuted in the Formula Regionals here in the United States, step up into these F3 cars for a full-length season, and knocked it out of the park. He won his first two races, two of the three races in the season, and he was on the podium for the third one. And Jonathan caught up with him right after his first win.
City fans, Ryan Shear's been on the show many a time. He's been a story many a time, but now he is the story because he's just won his first FR race. Congratulations, a boy who did good from Austin, Texas.
Yeah, I mean, we qualified really well, had pace from the get-go, got a good launch, and yeah, won the race. Yeah.
We didn't get a lot of TV time because you blitzed everybody. You'd gone. We hardly saw you on TV. I was trying to, you know, talk about you, but you'd gone. And was that a mindset that you said, okay, whatever happens, I'm just going to keep pushing here?
Yeah, pretty much. I couldn't really tell how far Nick or whoever was behind. So just kept on pushing. till you know, I heard I could take it easy about 5 minutes to go. So yeah, kept pushing. I was kind of just ready for the race to end. Just kept felt like it kept on going and going, but yeah, it was a good race.
How important was it to have those last 6 weeks in New Zealand where you were race ready and doing lap after lap because you come here very sharp?
Yeah, I think it's made a massive difference. You know, just being comfortable in the car, being comfortable with the racing style, with the aero, with the power. But I mean, especially with the launch, because it's much harder to launch these things than an F4 car where you kind of just hit it and go.
Yeah, I saw the practice starts and none of you were really getting it dialed in, yourself included. Was that a worry for you?
Yeah, it was just a bit unsure going into the race because I hadn't really gotten a good practice start. But fortunately, I was able to get a decent launch.
I know it's early. You got two more races tomorrow. But are you starting to build a campaign now to go for this?
Yeah, I mean, I showed up wanting to win the championship. And now we've won the first race. And I think we have the fastest laps will start from pole tomorrow. So hopefully we can just do the same thing again and run away with it.
And have you got a message for all those that have supported you in Austin, both financially and physically, effectively as fans?
Yeah, big thanks. I mean, the entire city of Austin, you know, it's where I grew up. Met a lot of great people. Circuit of the Americas was what got me started in all of this. So without the city, we wouldn't be here right now.
Congratulations. Well done to you. Best of Texas to you. Yeah,
thank you. Combine those
times. Yeah, what a story. This is really fun. And I met Ryan. Boy, he was young. He was definitely in karting when I met him. Actually, his dad is who I met first. And then we didn't know he either was involved in racing. And so, but anyway, he's a good young kid and I'm excited to see it. But Bob, we are out of time. I appreciate you joining me here. I appreciate everybody for tuning in. And don't forget, next weekend, or this coming weekend, I should say, we got the Formula One in Saudi Arabia, and we'll have our live pre- and post-race shows on national radio. Go to our website, speedcitybroadcast.com, to find out how to tune in. And it'll be me and Bob Varsha and Jonathan Green. Of course, Chris Medlin will be at the track with his microphone ready for action. But thanks, everybody. Appreciate you tuning in, and we'll talk to you next Sunday.
Cheers.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Hello to everyone. This is Gunther Steiner. This is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right. Welcome back to Speed City, your Sunday night with Speed City, which we do every Sunday when we are not doing a Formula One broadcast in the morning. But yeah, we have a couple stories we haven't touched on yet. And somebody texted me and said, hot take. They said, could Max win all 23 races, or will Lewis ever win a race again? Ooh. That is...
Don't jump. I know you're way up there on the edge of the building. Don't jump. It's not that bad.
That's a pretty hot take, isn't it?
Well, yeah. A hot take or a hot question. For my own purposes, no. I don't think that Max Verstappen's going to win every race.
Yeah.
And yes, Lewis Hamilton will win a race again.
Yeah, and I think that's very... I think that what's funny, if I had to say which one is less likely, I just think it's unlikely for anybody, for any team to win all 23, to win all the races in a Formula One season, much less the same driver. I think that's really, really unlikely. Now, Lewis, I mean... He's got a lot depends on whether he's back in position again. I definitely think I agree with you. If I were betting, I would bet on that, Bob. But I think I think both of those are pretty, pretty unlikely.
Well, closest anyone has ever come was 1988 when McLaren won 15 of the 16 races, thanks to Ayrton Senna and Alain Prost, who were probably the most recent true super team pairing of Formula One drivers. I have a joke about them losing that race. Do we have time to tell it?
We got plenty of time.
Okay. Well, as you know, Ayrton Senna was a very, very religious fellow. And in fact, Alain Prost, his teammate, said he often thinks he talks to God. Well, the truth is, he did.
Okay.
And in 1988, just before the Italian Grand Prix at Monza, Enzo Ferrari himself had passed away just a couple of weeks earlier. So it was a time of mourning and tributes and everything. So the Tifosi arrive in their multitudes at Monza for the race. Off into the distance goes Ayrton Senna, leading the race by a country mile. And he comes upon the Williams of Jean-Louis Schlesser, who was a Frenchman, a world sports car champion, who was drafted into the Williams team because Nigel Mansell had chicken pox, of all things. That's a totally true story.
Huh.
So Schlesser's in the car, and there was a collision as Senna tried to overtake him, and Senna was knocked out of the race, and the pursuing Ferraris came through to finish 1-2. So after the race, Senna got on his knees and spoke to God, said, Heavenly Father. God said, Yes, my son. Senna said, You know, I always come to you for advice in times of trouble. God said, Yes, I know that. And he said, I've always been loyal and loving. God says, Yes, I'm very proud of you. Senna said, Well, in the race today, I asked you, should I try to lap Schlesser? because I was leading by a ton. I could have just stayed behind him and won the race. But I asked you and you said, go ahead and pass it. Yes, my son, I did say that. Well, I crashed into him and dropped out of the race. And the Ferraris with Gerhard Berger and Michele Alboreto behind me finished 1-2. And the Tifosi tore the racetrack apart. They were also a moon about this happening so soon after the death of Enzo Ferrari. Why did you tell me to pass the Williams? And God said, I don't know. Enzo, why did we tell him to try to pass the Williams?
Nice. Nice job also, Casey.
You promised me a laugh track. I don't hear anything.
We got a drum roll or a, what do you call it?
Engineer Casey doesn't have a laugh track?
I think he just hit all the laugh buttons he had on the board.
And got nothing. Sounds like my joke. I'm dying up here.
You're dying over there.
Really?
Okay, I forgot where I was in our lineup. Oh, I know what I wanted to talk about. We touched on Jenson Button, but he is going to make his NASCAR debut here in Austin at Circuit of the Americas. How cool is that?
Very cool.
Did I leave out the word NASCAR, or did I say that NASCAR? He's going to make his NASCAR debut here at Circuit of the Americas.
Along with another Formula One veteran.
Well, yes. We're also Kimi Raikkonen is going to be there. And he's going to make his debut in NASCAR at COTA, but he's also going to race at Chicago and Indy in NASCAR. And he's saying that even a full-time NASCAR drive is a possibility for him if all these races go successful. I don't think we touched on all of that, which I thought was pretty cool. And I think it's very cool that Jenson Button and Kimi Raikkonen are going to be in NASCAR's, opposing teams. That's very
fun. Are they
going
to be in the same race? Or is one going to be in Cup and the other one in Xfinity? I don't know.
That it's a really good question. But no, it's just Cup Series. And Raikkonen's in the Cup Series. So yeah, they're going to be racing against each other.
Where have I heard that before? An open-wheel superstar comes to NASCAR and finds out, hey, you know what? It's harder than it looks.
All right. Well, we just have a little bit of time left, so I want to make sure we get in this interview that we did. If you guys have been following us, we've stumbled across a young driver here in Austin who we followed because he got excited because he went to COTA, saw some sports car racing, and then he went to a Formula One race and said, Dad, this is what I want to do. And I think he must have been 9 or 10 years old when this happened. So he started karting and he started moving up and then he did really well in karting. And then he moved to F4, US F4 series. And then just recently over the winter, he went down to New Zealand to do the Toyota Racing Series in the Formula Regional Oceania, they call it now. And so this weekend, he debuted in the Formula Regionals here in the United States. Step up into these F3 cars for a full length season and knocked it out of the park. He won his first two of the three races in the season, and he won, and he was on the podium for the third one. And Jonathan caught up with him right after his first win.
City fans, Ryan Shear's been on the show many a time. He's been a story many a time, but now he is the story because he's just won his first FR race. Congratulations, a boy who did good from Austin, Texas.
Yeah, we qualified really well, had pace from the get-go, got a good launch, won the race.
We didn't get a lot of TV time because you blitzed everybody. You'd gone. We hardly saw you on TV. I was trying to talk about you, but you'd gone. And was that a mindset that you said, okay, whatever happens, I'm just going to keep pushing here?
Yeah, pretty much. I couldn't really tell how far Nick or whoever was behind. So just kept on pushing till I heard I could take it easy about 5 minutes to go. Kept pushing. I was kind of just ready for the race to end. Felt like it kept on going and going. But it was a good race.
How important was it to have those last 6 weeks in New Zealand where you were race ready and doing lap after lap because you come here very sharp?
Yeah, I think it's made a massive difference. You know, just being comfortable in the car, being comfortable with the racing style, with the aero, with the power. But I mean, especially with the launch, because it's much harder to launch these things than an F4 car where you kind of just hit it and go.
I saw the practice starts and none of you were really getting it dialed in, yourself included. Was that a worry for you?
Yeah, it was just a bit unsure going into the race because I hadn't really gotten a good practice start. But fortunately, I was able to get a decent launch.
I know it's early. You got two more races tomorrow. But are you starting to build a campaign now to go for this?
Yeah, I mean, I showed up wanting to win the championship. And now we've won the first race. And I think we had the fastest lap, so we'll start from pole tomorrow. So hopefully we can just do the same thing again and run away with it.
And have you got a message for all those that have supported you in Austin, both financially and physically, effectively as fans?
Yeah, big thanks. I mean, the entire city of Austin, you know, it's where I grew up. I met a lot of great people. Circuit of the Americas was what got me started in all of this. So without the city, we wouldn't be here right now.
Congratulations. Well done to you. Best of Texas to you.
Yeah, thank you. Combine those
times. Yeah, what a story. This is really fun. And I met Ryan. Boy, he was young. He was definitely in karting when I met him. Actually, his dad is who I met first. And then we didn't know he either was involved in racing. And so, but anyway, he's a good young kid and I'm excited to see it. But Bob, we are out of time. I appreciate you joining me here. I appreciate everybody for tuning in. And don't forget, next weekend, or this coming weekend, I should say, we got the Formula One in Saudi Arabia, and we'll have our live pre- and post-race shows on national radio. Go to our website, speedcitybroadcast.com, to find out how to tune in. And it'll be me and Bob Varsha and Jonathan Green. Of course, Chris Medlin will be at the track with his microphone ready for action. But thanks, everybody. Appreciate you tuning in, and we'll talk to you next Sunday.
Cheers.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Sanofi to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.